So I'm talking about Psalm 32 this morning, so if you have your Bibles, pull them out and get ready to read and get ready to go. I'm not going to lie, I had a bit of a week this week preparing. I find generally if God's asked me to talk about something, he asks me to then work on it in my life, which is sometimes not the easiest process, especially when you're talking about repentance and turning from sin, leaving behind the old. And I realize that sometimes I have a little bit more to leave behind. Sometimes I have a little bit more to let go of. So God says, your turn, Drew, you got to hit the road, you know, get going, do this. You can't preach about it if you haven't lived it a little bit. So, yeah. So we are talking about repentance and turning your heart towards God today. So the picture I had leading up to this sermon was of us, all of us, we're in this life and we're standing on a ledge that's with a cliff, and it's a lot taller than this one, but our toes are hanging over the edge, and the edge is our life and the fall is eternity. And I want us to realize just how close we are to the edge. There is so little time left for us here. And we think, oh man, I've got decades. I'll get right with God later on. In light of eternity, that is nothing. And you might not have decades. Today could be my last day here. This hour could be the last hour that I'm here. And at any moment, it could be my last breath. And what I want us to know is that it is only the grace of God, and it is only the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, that when we fall headlong over this cliff, it is the grace of God in Christ Jesus that will catch us. And if we are not in Christ, there will be nothing to catch us. And we will tumble down into darkness. And so what I want us to know is that the time is now. If you're here today and you haven't walked with God, you don't know God, or you feel like you need to get right with God, the time is now. There's no time to wait. Yeah. So the time is short. And so what is the main thing that we're going to talk about here today in Psalm 32? Well, the main idea that I want us to talk about is that God wants you guys to experience the blessing of repentance. What repentance is just that turning towards God, turning your heart towards God to fix your eyes on Him. Everything in your life focused on Him, pursuing Him with everything you have, leaving nothing behind. It's not just an apology, it's completely turning your life towards God. So Herman gave me the topic. He said you have to talk about repentance, a heart after God, and David. So I have to listen to what Herman tells me to do. So, that's what we're going to do. So Psalm 32 verse 1, this is the main idea. Read it. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. The blessing of knowing that I don't have to carry the weight of my guilt anymore. Knowing that I don't have to pay the price for my sins anymore. That Jesus paid it for me. And that language of whose sin is covered, that word covered, should make us think about Passover. The Israelites are in Egypt, and they're in slavery, and God wants to lead them out. But Pharaoh isn't letting them, because his heart is hard. And so God sends plagues against Egypt. And the last plague is that death will come to the firstborn child of every household in Egypt. And so God offers a way to protect his people, to spare his people. And the way that they're protected is by the blood of a lamb that was slain. And the blood was painted on the doorpost so that death would not come to the Israelites' homes. And what we need to know is that Jesus is that lamb for us. And death would otherwise come to us if it were not for the blood of Christ that was poured out for us. So I want you to think, when Jesus was on the cross, when he's lifted up, when they impaled him with the spear and the blood poured out, when they pressed the crown of thorns down on his head and the blood poured down his face, when they hammered the nails through his hands and his ankles on the cross and the blood poured out. It isn't just a saying the blood of the Lamb. It's that blood that covers my sin. And it's that payment that he paid that I should have paid on the cross. And the wrath of God that should have come against me and my sin went against him. And that's why I'm forgiven. And that's the blessing of forgiveness for all of us, is that we have a God that would go to that length for our sakes, who loved us that much to pay that price for us. And David is a guy who knows this. Obviously, David was around before Jesus, but he knew the forgiveness of God in the face of his sin. So we're going to talk about three thoughts that will help us to understand the blessing of repentance. Three thoughts from Psalm 32. The first thought is that there is agony for every single person who continues in sin. Every person who persists in sin, there will be suffering for you, for me, when I persist in sin. So we're going to read Psalm 32, verse 2 to 4. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And I want you guys to know that in my life, there have been moments where I have persisted in sin, deliberate rebellion against God, and I want you to know that. I understand what it means to continually walk in sin and to know the suffering that it causes. And he says, my vitality was drained away from me. You don't have to go long in sin to know that your life will be drained from you. The joy in life will be drained from you. There will be strain in your relationships. There will be pain and difficulty and struggling when we persist in these things that we know we ought not do. It's not nothing. Our sin affects us. Our sin affects the people in our lives. It affects our relationship with God. And so there is suffering when we persist in sin. It'll inevitably lead to suffering. And Peter says in 1 Peter 4, he says, don't suffer as a murderer or an adulterer or a thief, whatever the sin is. He says, don't suffer because of your sin. Better to suffer for Christ, to walk in what's right and suffer for doing what's right, to suffer for following after Jesus. Don't suffer for your own sin. And we live in a world that's deceived about this. Sin wreaks all kinds of havoc in people's lives. People suffer because of the wickedness and the evil that takes place. And we often disconnect the suffering that comes after from the action itself. We say, I'm free to live. You know, it's my choice. I live my life. I do my thing. I'm just being me. And we don't understand the direct correlation between suffering and sin. And there is sin. There is suffering when we sin. And are we guilty of the same things? You know, the world calls what's wrong right. The culture we live in is constantly calling what is dead, life. What is wrong, right. And we're guilty of this sometimes. I'm guilty of this in my life, going, it's not really a big deal. No one knows about it. Why should I stop? You know, it feels good. Makes me feel good. And Brad, on his Good Friday message, he reminded me of Jesus who said, I didn't come to save the righteous but the sinner. And the question is not, am I a sinner? That's not what Jesus is saying. Because we're all sinners. There's not really any righteous person out there. The question is, do I understand that I'm a sinner? And do I understand that I need the grace of God and the restoration of God in my life? So we need to be honest with ourselves about our sin. I don't know if we're giving into sin in our sexuality, if we're sinning against our spouses, if we're not treating our spouses properly, if we're not living with integrity in our workplaces, if we're giving into addiction, I don't know. David and Bathsheba, I don't know if you've heard this story, but it's one of David's big stories in his life. But David is the anointed king of Israel, and he's not out to war where he should be, but he's back at home. He stayed behind, and he's standing on his rooftop of his home, and he looks down and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and it's not his wife. And I can just imagine that voice of temptation coming to him and saying, you want that, don't you? That's something that you could take. You're the king, you're powerful. Why don't you just take it? Reach out and take it. It's yours. And I know that voice in my mind that comes to me. Why don't you just reach out and take it? And he sleeps with Bathsheba and murders her husband to take what doesn't belong to him. And this psalm is David's journey of repentance. And he goes to great lengths in the Psalms, and you see it in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, to highlight the immense consequences that sin can wreak in our lives. I had a professor who told me one time, he says, we fight against an enemy who is a professional at ruining people's lives. He is a murderer and a thief and a liar, and he is excellent at destroying people. And the only safety we have is with God, turning from sin. So we need to evaluate our lives. We need to recognize the sin in our lives. We need to be willing to turn from it, knowing that it will destroy us, absolutely. So we need to know that sin will inflict suffering if we continue in it. The second thought I want to talk about is this, that there is life for every single person who seeks after God. When we turn from sin, there is life for us when we seek after God. And so the horror of sin is very real in our world, but the immense blessing of walking with God is equally real. For every single one of you here, you can experience it, you can know it, and I want you to know it and experience it. So David, in this psalm, he turns to God, and this is what he says. In verse 5 to 7 of Psalm 32, he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. And I want you guys to know that in this moment, that God, his heart for you is that you would be delivered, that you would be set free from anything that holds you, that you would walk in life and blessing. That's his heart for you today. He's singing over you with songs of deliverance. He's saying, come on, step into the life that I have for you. Don't stay where you are. That's for every one of us here. So what's the connection between repentance and a heart after God? I have to talk about it because Herman told me I had to, so. Repentance and a heart after God. I was supposed to talk about those things, so I'll throw it in there. Repentance, like I said, is not just saying sorry. It is turning yourself, orienting your life to God. Orienting every motive, every desire, every decision of your life needs to be turned towards God. And that's essentially what having a heart after God is. And so when we repent, when we're turning away from our sin, That's what repentance means. It means turning. When we turn from our sin, we are returning to 100% undivided desire for God, to follow Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. And that's where He gives us life, is when we purpose in our lives as men and women of God, when we purpose in our lives that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what, that's where life comes to us. Amen. So repentance is a return to a heart after God. If we've left, if we've strayed, made mistakes, it's a return to what's right. So this is the life that Jesus offers us in Luke 4, verse 14 to 21. I'm going to skip some verses, but this is, I want you guys to know that this is the life that God offers you. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all the districts. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him, and He opened the book and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." We're the poor. We're the ones who had nothing. "He has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives." You know that every one of us here was once trapped in sin. And God in Christ has set us free from sin. But we were trapped. And the message of the gospel is that He releases us and sets us free from that so that we can walk in the new life that He has for us. Recovery of sight to the blind. Man, I know that I've been blind. I'm still wrestling with blindness. The more I go about my life, the more I realize there are things in me that I didn't see before. Things that God needs to change. Darkness in my heart that needs to be dealt with. And so He gives sight to the blind, and that's an amazing blessing. Don't ever feel bad for God shedding light on things in your life that need to be dealt with. It's okay. It's nothing to be ashamed about. That's why Christ died, was to help us. And we all have to deal with it. And so you don't have to worry when you deal with stuff, when you're facing things that you're maybe ashamed of. You don't have to be ashamed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the blessing of God, that He is offering each one of us the opportunity to have a changed life. We don't have to walk in the things that we once struggled with. So Pastor Leonard often says that we were both saved from and were saved to. When we're saved from, God in many ways saves us from experiencing the full extent of what our sin would accomplish. Man, I know that if God didn't save me, I don't even want to think about what my sin could have done, about the darkness I would have been living in and experiencing in my life. And so when God saves us, He saves us from that. Saves us from what could have happened. He saves us from the righteous wrath of God that would have come against the evil in my heart. But He also saves us into something new. God fills our lives with blessings that we could have never imagined beforehand. He teaches us to follow Him. He shows us just how much He loves us and His heart for us. He teaches us how to love our families and our friends. And He fills us, puts us into communities with people that love us, and teaches us to know His word and to find life and freedom in His word and to live by the Spirit. And I want to hear from you guys. I'm going to ask you, a couple of you guys, just to call out in this moment the life that God has offered to you. He saved you from death in your sin, but what has He offered to you? Go ahead. Joy, peace, freedom, hope, eternal life, purpose. Come on. What else do you need? Come on. Like, what else could you ask for? Yeah, we're stubborn sometimes. This life comes when we focus and turn our hearts towards God. Purpose, hope, freedom. We need to turn to Christ, every aspect of who we are. And I just want to remind us, you are my hiding place. You preserve me in trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. And I just imagine as I walk through this life, God just singing to me. He says, come my way. Come to me. I'll set you free. You know? So we turn to God. We repent and we turn to him when we've made a mistake. You don't have to wallow when you've made a mistake. You don't have to sit in the mud like a pig. You know? The difference between a sheep and a pig is a sheep knows it's dirty and he comes out. He wants to get clean. Pig wallows. Just rolls in it. So we don't have to, if we've made a mistake, don't feel bad. Don't feel ashamed, but come out. Know that God's calling you to himself. Like, you can sin in 1 minute, sin again 10 minutes later. God's just as ready to welcome you back, to forgive you. And it's not like you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to suffer, make yourself suffer by just sitting in the sin. So keep persevering in the life that God has for you, that he's offering to you. Walk in it. So there's life when we turn ourselves to God. And the last point that I want to talk about is that there is hope for every one of us who is wrestling with sin. We all struggle with sin. And I can tell you confidently that there have been times in my life where I'm wrestling with sin that I'm ashamed of, that weighs heavy on my shoulders. And there have been times in my life, long periods of time, where I thought, I'm never going to get out of this. I'm never going to get free. I'm going to deal with this my whole life. And that's what I believed. But that's not actually what God has for us. He wants to change us and transform our hearts and set us free from the things that we're trapped in. So we're going to read from Psalm 32, 8 to 11. I will instruct you. This part of the psalm, God transitions from David talking, and it's now God talking to us. So I want you to listen and just even close your eyes and think about God speaking these words to you. And as I speak, imagine God speaking this to you because he is speaking it to you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and my eye will be upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all who you who are upright in heart. So the promise here is that God is going to be the one who walks with us. That it's God who's the one who will teach us in the midst of our struggles, that we don't have to walk alone. And that's an amazing gift. And the enemy, he really wants each of us to think that we are alone. You're the only one struggling with that sin. You're so dirty. You're so disgusting. Why would you do something that horrible? You're so messed up. Don't tell anyone. Why would God want to walk with you? Why would God want to journey with you? And it's funny because that's exactly what we need to do. He's the only person that will help us in our sin. So we need to walk closely with him. And sometimes the last thing we feel like doing in turning to God, investing in our faith, walking with God, sometimes the last thing we feel like doing is the exact thing we need to do. And so are we willing as God's people to stand up and do the thing that needs to be done, even if it's what we don't feel like doing? Because it's easy to wallow in sin. It's easy to stay in that place. But the hope is that God's calling us out, and it takes effort. And like, you better know that if you're struggling with sin and you feel like God's calling you out of it, it's going to be hard. Because the last thing the enemy wants for you is to be free from sin. And you better believe that as soon as you start making a point in your life, I'm going to turn from sin, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to love my wife, I'm going to love my kids, the enemy is going to make your life very difficult. And he'll throw all kinds of lies your way, he'll throw all kinds of difficulty your way, and it won't be easy. And that's where we as believers take on and say, I'm going to accept whatever cost it takes to follow Christ, to walk in the life that he has for me. I'm going to reread verse 9. He says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they won't come near you. What is he saying? You have to drag a horse around. You have to drag the mule around. Don't be like that. I don't want to be the kind of person that God has to drag around. What, are we going to be stubborn in our sin? Are we going to come to God? And again, he's singing. He's saying, come to me. I want to rescue you. I want to save you. I want to help you. Just come to me, please. And so often we're like the mule, and we're like, no, I don't want life. Death is good. Not that we think that, but no worries. Just to keep me humble, you know. Keep me humble. So don't be stubborn like the horse or the mule. Come to God, and there's hope. You have to believe that God can change your circumstances. You have to believe that God can set you free. Do you believe it? So I'm going to read some promises to you guys that should fill us with hope. I'm going to read 4 promises and talk about them. I just want you to listen to them, believe them, pray them over your circumstances, the things you might be struggling with. Find hope. Ezekiel 36, God promises us that he will create in us a new heart, that he will sprinkle us clean, and that we will be able to follow him with all of our hearts. You need to know that sprinkling clean with water is a reference to the Spirit. The image of water in the Bible is very closely connected with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is given to us to make us clean and make us holy. So we need to know that if we're discouraged in the struggle with our sin, that it's actually the Spirit who's at work in us. That we've been given the Spirit, and that's all we need to find freedom. It isn't a matter of gritting our teeth and saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. And then we fail, and it's discouragement. It's a matter of walking with God. That doesn't take work to walk with God. We're not working. We're not striving. We're drawing close to him. In our hearts, we're saying, I'm coming close, God. I need your help. I'm not going to grit my teeth on my own and walk apart from God. I'm going to walk closely with God. Romans 5:6, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So me, I was walking in direct rebellion against God. My heart was set against him. I hated him. I hated the idea of doing what's right. I wanted to live in my sin. I wanted to do what I thought was right. I wanted nothing to do with God. And you have to understand that for each of us here, that's where God met us. He didn't meet us in the place where we made the first move and said, I need you, Lord, come. And then he's like, oh, I guess I'll go. He initiated, you know? He said, I love you. I said, I hate you, God. He said, I love you. I said, I want to do what I want. And he says, I'm going to save you. I said, I want nothing to do with you. And he said, don't worry. I'm coming for you. That's exactly it. Jesus knew about your sin long before you were even born. Every sin that you would ever commit in your life, he knew about. And he chose you. That should give you hope if you make mistakes in the future that God's not shocked. He still loves you. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul reminds us and he says, I was a violent aggressor against God. I hated him. I was angry and I was doing my own thing. I was against God. And he says, but the grace of God was sufficient for me. I was shown mercy. You have to know that if you have instances where you fail, where you make a mistake in your life, you have to know that the grace of God is sufficient for you. That the price that Jesus paid on the cross was more than enough for each one of you guys. And God is welcoming us to come close to him. He's welcoming us to walk with him, to lay ourselves down, to let go of our sins. And he says, come to me. Come. Don't walk your own way. In Hebrews it says, therefore we draw confidently before the throne of grace. We can come confidently before God. And I can come with my sin, with my joy, with every part of my life. I can run into his presence like a kid with his or her parents and say, God, I'm here. I'm here and you're the person I need. I don't know what to do. I made a mistake, but I'm here. And I know you love me. I know that you'll help me. You know? In Hebrews 12, we find hope because we see what Jesus endured for our sake. And Hebrews 11 talks about all these people who've walked by faith, all these people who have suffered for the gospel, for the truth of God. And here he talks about, he says, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. And so we fix our eyes on him so that we ourselves wouldn't lose hope. And I just imagine Jesus going to the cross and he says, man, this is going to be really, really horrible. And I imagine the stress and the anguish and the pain with which he was going to the cross. And yet he said, for PJ, it's worth it. For Emily, it's worth it. For Isaiah, it's worth it. And for Brad, it's worth it. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so for us, we have to say, I'm willing to put up with whatever it takes to follow Jesus. I'm willing to walk in what's right even when it's difficult. I'm willing to take a stand when it's hard. I'm willing to persevere, and I know that I have hope because Jesus did it for me. And the time is coming when it's not going to be this way anymore. It's not going to be hard anymore. But for now, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to follow God. I want to call the band up. And I want us to take some time to respond and think about this. I guess the question is, how do we respond to this word? And I want to read verse 10 to 11 again. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all who you who are upright in heart. Come on. Shout. Lift your voice. He saved us. God has forgiven us for our sins because of what Jesus did for us. Embrace that. He offers us life and freedom and joy, restoration in our homes and our families, freedom from addiction and pain, healing from our sickness, and peace in our minds over fear. Struggling with fear? Man, I've been to so many altar calls in my life, you think I'd be a little further ahead? We need to draw close to God today. And we're standing on the edge. This isn't a time to waste the moments that we have, because they're short. We don't have many of them. I don't know if you need help overcoming sin. I need help overcoming sin. It's okay. I need to come forward. There's sin in my life. I need help. We want to pray with you. Maybe you feel God calling you out of the old to step into the newness of what He has for you. And there needs to be a step, something you need to do. He's calling you to take a step forward. Maybe you need to be reminded of the love of God for you. That Jesus went to the cross because He loved you. That He was a real person. He was God too. And he wanted to come for you. It's not just a story. It's not just a myth that we talk about because it makes us feel better. It's a real historical story that Jesus came because He loved you. That He died because He loved you. I'm just reminded, He says, he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness will surround him. And I want you guys to think about that just and close your eyes for a second. Lord, as we put our trust in you with the loving kindness that you offer us, just surround us in our lives, Jesus. Would we just know the love of God? Fill us, Holy Spirit. Show us your love. So if you feel like God is speaking to you this morning, I want you to come forward. And I know that it can be nerve-wracking to come forward. And like I said, I've been to enough to know that it can be nerve-wracking. But I don't want you to let that stop you. And if you feel today like God is calling you, like He's speaking to your heart, like He's singing the song of deliverance over you, He's saying, come to me. Come to me today. I'll set you free. I know you've made mistakes. It's okay. I'm not giving up on you. I'll walk with you all the days of your life. I will set you free from every sin. I will set you free from every power of darkness. I will give you life. I will set you free. If you feel like God is calling you this morning to respond, you need to turn from the old. You need to fix your eyes on Christ. I want you guys to come forward now. And I want to encourage the prayer team to be ready. And we'll pray for each other. We'll worship together. And we'll celebrate what God has done.